Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
What was on my heart was the holidays. And I was thinking about just things that we go through as people. And, you know, holidays are coming up. Christmas is coming up. We've already gone through Thanksgiving. And we're going to see a lot of people, right? You're going to see a lot of people, a lot of your family you're going to see that maybe you don't see regularly. And maybe some of that family that you're going to see are people that you don't like. Amen. Maybe they're people that you have a grudge against. Maybe they're people that that you have some bitterness for. You know, sometimes we as families aren't always perfect. Amen. And sometimes families will have strife, and they'll have arguments, and they'll have fights, and then we as people kind of hold that against them, right? Or it may be something that's happened in your past that you need to let go of. Maybe it wasn't a family member. Maybe it was somebody else that hurt you. Maybe it's a previous relationship. Maybe it's just something that happened in your life that you need to let go of this morning. So I decided to speak this morning on the topic, how to really forgive. How to really forgive. How do we really do it? And as I was praying through this message and thinking through it last night, it hit me that most Christians know that we're supposed to forgive, right? If you're a child of God for any length of time, you know, if you've picked up a Bible and read it, you know that we're supposed to forgive, right? You know that. Most Christians know what forgiveness is supposed to look like, right? Most Christians know what it's supposed to look like. They know what forgiveness looks like. They know they're supposed to do it, but maybe they don't know how to do it. Right? And I've heard that many times in counseling. I've heard that many times in marriage seminars, things that we've done, and we've spoken to couples, and they said, I really want to forgive him, or I really want to forgive her. I really want to move past this. I really want to get past this situation. I just don't know how. I just don't know how to do it. So this morning, what I'm going to do, this isn't going to be a barn burner yelling sermon, right? Sometimes, I mean, you know, sometimes we need that. Sometimes we come in and we just need to be pepped up, and we need to be lifted up, and we need to yell and expel some energy and have a great sermon and leave here feeling pumped. However, many times when I've preached those sermons, people don't remember next week what I preached the last week, right? So then sometimes we just need to talk to each other. Sometimes we just need to have a conversation about what the Bible says and what we're supposed to be doing as faith-filled Christians, what we're supposed to be doing as followers of Christ, and not only for the benefit of those people that know us, and not only for the benefit of the kingdom, but for your benefit, for our benefit. Amen. So I want to talk to you this morning on how to really forgive. We're going to be reading our text in Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 30 through 32, and I'll give you a second to get there. I apologize, this is not on YouVersion this morning, because I wasn't sure until 5 minutes ago whether Pastor was going to be here or not, and his message was up there, so I didn't want to conflict with that. So this is not on YouVersion, so you may have to just take old-fashioned notes this morning, and that's okay. If you're in Ephesians chapter 4, say amen. As Pastor says, if you're a heathen, you don't plan on finding it. Say, go ahead. Man, there's no heathens here this morning. Wednesday night, there was like 40 of them, man. They're like, I'll just go ahead. We're not going to look it up. Amen. It's probably because I said heathens first. I think Pastor said it afterwards. He goes, you heathens. All right. So Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30, we're going to start reading. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Let's pray again over the message. Father, we just thank you this morning for the opportunity to be in this place. We thank you, Father, that we woke up this morning, we're in our right mind, that we were healthy enough to get here, that we can sit in these seats and receive your word. Father, we know that the reading of your word, the Bible, is always anointed, Father, but I would pray over the rest of the message, Lord, that you would just anoint it to do a work in people's hearts this morning. I'm sure, Father, that when I announced the topic this morning, that there was probably in each and every person in here, somebody popped to mind that they need to forgive. In probably 90% of the people in here, somebody came up with something in their mind that they need to forgive. Holy Spirit, I need your help this morning in delivering this in such a way that they're able to do that. And Father, we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So forgiveness is a subject that's least talked about and most needed. It's least talked about and most needed. You and me both, as Christians, would rather sit in a sermon and listen about the blessings of God and hear about God's abundance and God's healing and God's healing our bodies and God delivering paychecks to our mailbox when we didn't earn them and letting us live in houses that we didn't build. And we would much rather, and I would too, sit in sermons that pump me up and get me excited about things that God can do for me. And I'm least likely to enjoy sitting in a sermon this morning and listening to a message that convicts me, to listen to a message that tells me something that I need to do for me, right? How many of you know that God sometimes, or God all the time, does a lot for you, but sometimes he expects you to do something for you, right? So what I'm talking about forgiving this morning is not necessarily something you're doing for God, and it's definitely not something you're doing for the offender. It's definitely not something that you're doing for the other person, but it's something that you're doing for you, because I want to show you this morning how when you don't forgive, when you hold on to bitterness, when you hold on to clamor, when you hold on to evil speaking, when you hold on to things like that in your life, how many of you know it blocks the flow of the blessing that God is trying to do through you and for you? Sometimes when you hold on to this stuff is not, we hold on to it because we think it's going to hurt the person who offended us. We hold on to it, right? Somebody said one time that it's like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die, because we expect the other person to be hurt by us holding on to the offense. But the truth of the matter is we're not hurting anybody but us and the Holy Spirit. You said, what? What, Pastor Steve? Did you just say we're hurting the Holy Spirit? Yeah. Yeah, we're going to get to that in just a minute. R.T. Kendall wrote a book called Total Forgiveness. It's a book I've recommended hundreds of times in counseling sessions because it's so powerful around the theme of forgiveness, right? And when R.T. Kendall said when he wrote that book that he looked through all of the books that were written by prominent Christian authors, all of the books that were out there on forgiveness, and when he ordered all the books, he could hold them in one hand. So it's been totally ignored. Now, since then, R.T. Kendall has written about 5 books on forgiveness. He's written Total Forgiveness. He's written How to Forgive Yourself. He's written How to Forgive Your Spouse. And he's also written How to Forgive God. Man, that's a powerful subject, isn't it? How to forgive God. How many of you know that sometimes you do need to forgive God? Now that's not saying that God did anything wrong, right? So see, some of you right then probably got a little, what? You're starting to scream heretic and drag me out of the church just then. That's not saying that God did anything wrong, but how many of you sometimes have been in a situation in life where you're just mad at God because he didn't bring you out of it yet? You're mad at God because the situation hasn't changed yet. And it's not that God did anything wrong, but you're holding a grudge against God. Now, the same way that happens with God is the same way that happens with people. Sometimes we'll hold a grudge against people, not necessarily because they did anything wrong, maybe because they didn't do something you expected them to do. So maybe it wasn't that they did anything wrong, but maybe they didn't do anything at all, and you expected them to do something, and because of that, you're holding a grudge towards people, right? So every one of us in here this morning probably needs to forgive somebody. If I knew everybody in here was brave, I would ask you to raise a hand if you know that there's somebody in your life that you need to forgive. A lot of you just did, right? If there's somebody in your life that you need to forgive, well, we're going to talk about how to do that this morning, right? Most Christians who are holding bitterness want to forgive, right? And probably everybody that raised a hand in here this morning, you want to forgive, you're just not sure how. You're just not sure what that looks like. The truth is, we as a people in our flesh, if we're in our flesh, we cannot really forgive. We can't totally forgive when we're in our flesh, because that's opposite of what our flesh wants to do. What our flesh wants to do is actually on the screen. We're people who want justice when we're innocent and we want grace when we're guilty. How many of you know that? We want justice when we're innocent. Lord, I didn't do this. Judge, I didn't do this. I need to be severed. I need justice, right? And people march in the street when they believe somebody's in court that's innocent, and they're holding up signs, justice for whoever, right? We want justice when we believe that we're innocent. But when we know we're guilty, man, we want grace. Lord, I did this. Lord, would you please just shout me some grace, right? We don't want to be punished either way. Whether we're innocent or guilty, we don't want to be punished. Now, in our flesh, what we tend to do is we flip that when we look at other people, right? When somebody has wronged us, we don't want to give them grace when they're guilty. Right, we don't want to give people grace that are guilty of wronging us, but we want grace when we're guilty of wronging somebody else. So the first thing that we have to do in order to be able to totally forgive situations is you got to recognize that in your flesh, it can't be done. In your flesh, it can't be done. If all you do is feed your flesh, if all you do is build up your flesh, if all you do is fleshly deal with the situation, it's never going to happen. You're never going to forgive that person. But if you spend time in the Spirit, if you spend time praying, if you spend time reading your word, if you spend time locking the key over your mouth and saying, no, I'm not going to allow these evil things to come out of this pie hole. I'm going to sit down right here and I'm just going to shut up. Because if I open my mouth, I know I'm going to say some pretty nasty things about somebody, so I'm just going to shut up. If we start to deal with ourselves in the Spirit is where we create the atmosphere for ourselves to forgive. Amen? Amen. How many of you know that everything that God does for you, he also wants to get it done through you? Anything that God does for you, he wants to do through you. How many of you believe that God won't bless you financially if he knows he can't get the finances through you to somebody else? How many of you believe that? Some of you might be sitting there today and you might be struggling in your finances and you've been praying for God to move on that situation in your life. You've been begging God, God, move in this situation. This is awful. There's no relief. There's no relief in this situation. And God says, I would bless you, but I know I can't get it through you. So maybe there needs to be some repentance in that area of finances before God can bless you financially. But the same way, see, I told you about the financial aspects of it first because that gets everybody's attention, right? Everybody wants to be blessed financially. But how many of you know that whatever God does for you, you're supposed to do for other people? If he comforts you, you're supposed to comfort other people, right? We have a grief share ministry that started this focus group session and it's continuing on. And John and Charlene Paulette are leading that ministry. And they went through a rough season in their life where God comforted them. God wrapped his arms around them and helped them through that season. Helped them through that loss. Now, in turn, they could have just sat on their behinds in church and done nothing with that, right? Or they could put that to use and comfort other people. And what they chose to do was put that to use. And now they're comforting 20, 30 other people that come to Grief Share. So God comforted them. They're comforting somebody else, right? If God loves you, you're supposed to love other people. Amen? If you feel loved by God, you're supposed to be loving other people. What God does to you, you do to other people. That's the way it works, right? If God blesses you, and it may not be financially, it may be time, it may be in your business, it may be just other things in your life. If God blesses you, you're supposed to be blessing other people. And this is the last one. If God forgives you, you're supposed to be forgiving other people. Amen? Now, we don't mind sometimes the financial blessing. God, if you just bless me, Lord, with $500 this week. Lord, I need $500. If you just bless me, Lord, with $500 this week, then I will bless somebody else with $50. I'll bless somebody else with $100. Whatever the situation is, but you think that. But if you're crying out to the Lord for forgiveness, are you first willing to go to everybody who's wronged you and forgive them? See, the Bible says in Mark chapter 11, verses 25 through 26, it says that God will forgive you your trespasses against him once you have forgiven other people's trespasses against you. Now, if you read that scripture quick enough, you cannot get convicted, right? If you read that scripture through it quick enough and you skip on to the next verse and you forget about it quickly, you can leave the conviction. But if we just hover over that for a moment, and you know that there's some situations in your life that you need God to forgive you for, and I know as a pastor, I talk to a lot of you, and I know you need some. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But I know that everybody in here needs forgiveness for something. You know why? Because nobody in here is named Jesus. We might have a Jesus in the house, but we don't have a Jesus in the house, right? None of you in here are perfect. So I know each and every person in here, even Pastor Cash, needs God to forgive him from time to time. Can you believe that? Another heresy, wasn't it? Even Pastor Cash needs God to forgive him from time to time. But the Bible is clear about the fact that if you don't forgive your enemies, if you don't forgive people that hurt you, he's not going to forgive you. What? Man, that don't seem right, does it? Well, he's God. It's easier for him to forgive. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. I'm not God. I don't know how it feels, right? But man, if I know this, that if I go to God and I'm asking for forgiveness in an area of my life, I'm asking him to show up in an area of my life, and yet I'm withholding that same forgiveness from somebody else who needs it in my life, God's going to withhold that forgiveness from me. See, some of you may have been walking around for years not forgiving and holding on to bitterness, and I'm talking about Christians this morning. I'm not talking about non-Christians. And if you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ, I'm not necessarily talking about you. And we'll give you an opportunity later to accept Christ at the end of this message. But I'm talking about people of God. I'm talking about people who grace these seats every Sunday and every Wednesday night that walk around for years holding bitterness in their hearts and not letting it go. And are you aware of the scripture that we just read that said God will not forgive you your reckless sin against him if you will not forgive other people's reckless sin against you? I told you this was going to be a toe stomper this morning, man. So if it gets tight in here, it's okay. You know, I know that. So if you get quiet, I know that. This is a toe stomper this morning. I get it. But the truth is, I'm preaching this morning not because I'm angry with anybody. And I'm preaching this morning not because I think we need more holiness in the church and you need to be holy and you need to forgive people and you need to walk around and lay down and let people walk over top of you because that's a holy thing to do. That's not why I'm preaching that this morning. But I'm simply preaching this morning because I believe in my heart when I look at this scripture and I rightly divide it and I read it and the Holy Spirit enlightens it to me, I know that people aren't living the most abundant life that Jesus declared for them as long as you're walking around holding on to unforgiveness and bitterness. So I'm preaching this morning not to step on toes, not to make anybody upset, not to make anybody angry, but I'm preaching this morning so that you can be set free. I'm preaching this morning so that you can walk free of the chains of bondage of bitterness in your life. And I'm also preaching this morning so that God will forgive you your sins once you forgive other people's sins against you. Amen. So I'm preaching this morning for you. So if you feel your toes stepped on, just know that. Amen? Just know that. You can shout it out. Amen. Oh, that was a toe stomp or whatever you want to say. I'm okay with it. Right? So there's three types of textbook forgiveness that are found if you look in the secular realm, right? And I did some studying last night. I'm studying three types of forgiveness that are in the secular realm. And this is what they say. The first type of forgiveness is detached forgiveness. Detached forgiveness is there is a reduction in negativity towards the offender, right? You don't feel quite as angry at them as you used to be, but there's absolutely zero reconciliation. So you're not angry at them like you were. Right? Maybe you don't want to kill them anymore, but you still want to punch them in the nose. Right? You don't want to bury them somewhere in the woods but you'd like to see their car blow up, right? I mean, maybe it's just, this is just partial forgiveness. Is that just me? I mean, does anybody else feel like that from time to time, right? You don't want them to die, and I want them to go to heaven. I just want them to go to heaven maimed, right? And maybe that's where you're at this morning, right? You don't want to see them hurt, but too bad, but you want to see them hurt a little, right? And maybe that's where you're at. That's detached forgiveness, right? You've tried to forgive. You've made every effort to forgive, but it's probably apart from God, right? This is probably under your own power. I've tried to forgive, so it's detached forgiveness. So in essence, instead of really forgiving, this is what I'm doing. I'm not totally forgiving that person, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to take what they did, and I'm going to stick it in Tupperware, and I'm going to put it in the back of the fridge where I don't have to look at it, hear about it, or see it anymore, right? If I do that, then I don't have to deal with it, and hey, I can walk around feeling like I've forgiven. But the problem comes when that Tupperware begins to slide to the front of the fridge, and then somebody moved the chocolate milk and bumped that Tupperware container, and then that Tupperware container slid to the left, and then somebody put in some other stuff in there, and it got moved to the front, and then my 17-year-old, who's always looking for food in the fridge, popped it open and went, ooh, that's gross, and left it on the counter, right? So all of a sudden, that detached forgiveness that you had in your life, all of a sudden you walk into your kitchen, and it's right there staring at you in the face. How many of you have thought you've forgiven somebody until you ran into them in public? Am I alone? Man, you thought it was done. This is a done deal, man. I am the man. I pulled this. Lord, did you see how good I forgave them? Lord, I even prayed for them last week. I said, Lord, don't let anything too bad happen to them, right? There was a country song I've heard recently. One of my kids played for me, and they're like, Dad, you got to hear this. And the name of the song was I'm Praying for You. And it was, I'm praying for you. And it was like country, you know, so it was kind of redneckish. And he said, I'm praying for you that a piano falls out of a third-story window and hits you in the head. I'm praying for you. You know, and he's praying all these negative things about him, right? So let me just tell you this morning that praying negativity over somebody isn't forgiveness, right? So that's not necessarily saying I'm praying for you, right? So when you think you've forgiven and you're walking around self-righteous, man, I forgave that, right? That was pretty bold, and I forgave that. God, you must be so proud of me right now, and you ain't seen that person in a year and a half. And then all of a sudden, they're sitting on your pew in church on Sunday. What? And all those old feelings start coming back up. And no longer do you just want to punch them in the nose. You want to shoot them and drag them into a pit. Right? I'm just being real. I'm being real with you this morning, right? No longer do you have detached forgiveness. You have zero forgiveness. And that's how you realize you haven't totally forgiven yet. That's how you realize the work isn't complete. And sometimes, don't get mad at God because you'll have to go home and forgive God. But sometimes I believe God will place people in your path to show you that you still got some wickedness in your heart when you think you're healed. I think I'm done and over it, but God says, are you really? Okay. Do-do-do. Do-do-do. Well, there's so-and-so. Do you know what they did to me? And immediately fire starts building back up in your belly again. Immediately rage starts entering your mind again. Right? It's because you didn't completely forgive. It's detached forgiveness. Number two, in the textbook style of forgiveness is limited forgiveness. Limited forgiveness, there's a reduction in negativity, right? And notice these are not total. These are partial. There's a reduction in negativity. And the relationship is partially restored with conditions. This is usually how we forgive our spouses. I just stepped on some toes, didn't I? That's all right. Just yell, ouch. It's okay. This is how we forgive our spouses normally. Why? Because we have to have some kind of a restored relationship with our spouse, right? Unless divorce enters the picture, you're living under the same roof, you got to have some sort of relationship, right? So normally what happens is we say through gritted teeth, I forgive you, but I ain't doing your laundry no more. I've heard that one. I forgive you, but you're going to iron your own shirt. I forgive you, but I ain't going to walk around and open your door for you anymore. I forgive you, I'm not going to cook for you anymore. I forgive you, but I'm going to talk about you like a dog to every one of my friends. Oh, my Lord. Whew. I told you it's getting tight. Limited forgiveness is forgiving somebody, but only partial reconciliation of the relationship. The third one, and this is textbook, the third one is full forgiveness. So full forgiveness, there's a total cessation of negativity, and the relationship is fully restored. Now, if you notice, I put there's a bunch of gray areas. I wrote that after the fact, right? The point three is the textbook, and the parentheses is me. There's a bunch of gray areas to this. This sounds biblical at first. This sounds like God might have wrote that at first. That there's a total absence, cessation of negativity, and the relationship is fully restored. But as I'm reading this, I'm thinking, what about the relationships that don't need to be fully restored? What about the relationships that were harmful and detrimental to your health and to your life and to your spiritual walk that don't need to be restored? How do you forgive somebody who abused you as a kid without restoring a relationship? Can you have total forgiveness for somebody who raped you in the dark and not have a restored relationship? See, this is the world's points 1, 2, and 3, right? Can you forgive somebody who harmed you so harshly that left you broken for the rest of your life? Can you forgive somebody of that without having a restored relationship? And I say yes. I say yes. But the only way that you can do that is through the power of the Holy Spirit. The only way that you can forgive an offense that large is through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's through completely giving yourself over to God and allowing God to completely rework you on the inside. Completely fix everything that was broken by that accident. To completely fix everything that was broken by that incident. To completely fix everything that was broken by that offense. Whatever it was, whatever that happened to you, that God can come in and fix it. So there's another option biblically, and it's the name of R.T. Kendall's book, and I'm going to call it Total Forgiveness. Total forgiveness is with a relationship restoration or not. With a relationship restoration or not, you have total peace and no negative feelings towards the offender any longer. Total peace. Now, for some of you sitting in here this morning, you may be thinking in your mind, I haven't had total peace in years. I haven't been able to really forgive what happened to me in 10 years. I haven't been really able to forgive what happened to me 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago. And I've been walking around broken and angry and hurt on the inside. And I've never been able to totally release that offense. And God is telling me to tell you this morning that you're not releasing those offenses for the offender. You're not doing this and forgiving, saying what they did to you was okay. What you're doing is saying, God, I don't want to block up any blessings that you have for me for the future. God, I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit any longer. God, I don't want to be walking around angry. God, I don't want my relationships now to suffer because of something that happened to me long ago in my past. God, I don't want people who love me now to suffer because of somebody who did wickedness to me in the past. So God is not asking you to forgive those situations so that the other person, the offender, can get relief, because God says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And unless they have repented and completely changed their ways, vengeance will be God's. It doesn't have to be yours. However, what God does want for you is to live a John 10:10 abundant life now, that no matter what they did to you in the past, you can let it go and you can have peace right now in your present. Amen. That's why I'm preaching this morning. So what is the difference between saying I forgive them and it being detached forgiveness and you really forgiving them and it being total forgiveness? What does that look like? Right? And that's where we usually run into problems. How do I make that happen? Right? Well, verse 30 of our text, and I read it and I kind of read through it kind of quickly in the beginning. Paul writes to the church of Ephesus, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Right? So that's the line that I really want to focus on for the next few minutes. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit. How do I know if I've forgiven them detached or total? How do I know if I've forgiven them limited or total forgiveness? How do I know? Because anything other than total forgiveness grieves the Holy Spirit within you. Now, what this feels like, and some of you may be new to Christianity, you may be new to your faith, and you may be new to church. So I want to break it down pretty easy for everybody in the room to grasp. When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, Jesus doesn't come in as a little guy into our heart, right? We say that and we use that phrase, but that's not actually what happens, right? The Spirit of Jesus enters us through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, right? So once you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes in and lives within you. So that means when you read a scripture like this, and you are now responsible to live out that scripture. So if you've never read this scripture before, I'm sorry that I brought it to your attention today, but you are now responsible to live out this scripture. So what happens is you may not understand completely that it's the Holy Spirit, but every day maybe you get up in the morning and somebody did something to you 2 months ago, and it's the first thing you think about every day. And you're miserable, and you have a lack of peace, and you have a lack of sympathy for anybody else. You have a lack of compassion, maybe. You don't want to do anything spiritual. It's hard for you to pray. It's hard for you to read the Word. And every morning when you get up, you just feel this emptiness or this brokenness in you, and you just feel grieved. That grief is actually not your grief. That grief is the Holy Spirit's grief. So when the Holy Spirit is in you and you're doing something like withholding forgiveness or holding on to bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, all of those things, you're grieving the Holy Spirit within you. And because you have become one with the Holy Spirit, everything the Holy Spirit is feeling, you're feeling, and we know that as conviction. Okay? You may not know the word conviction. Conviction is when you feel bad about something. That's when God convicts you because you're doing something wrong or you're withholding something that you're supposed to be doing. So when the Holy Spirit is grieved within you, he brings conviction on you. It's that feeling within you that something is wrong. So some of you have walked around with that feeling for so long that eventually your heart became hard to the gentle pushing of the Holy Spirit, and you no longer feel it and you no longer hear him. But just because you no longer feel the Holy Spirit or you no longer hear him, and I'm not saying in every area of your life, but I'm talking about in this particular area, just because you don't hear the Holy Spirit prompting you to forgive anymore, it may be because you've hardened part of your heart to that aspect of your life and you no longer hear him. But just because you no longer hear him doesn't mean you don't need to do something about it. Right? So sometimes God will send a preacher up into the pulpit as a pinch hitter on a Sunday morning to tell you that, hey, just because you're not feeling it anymore doesn't mean that it's necessarily gone. And maybe something needs to happen for you to start hearing the Holy Spirit push you again towards total forgiveness, because total forgiveness is where your blessings flow. Total forgiveness is where your life changes. Total forgiveness is when you begin to walk in the power and the authority of Christ, and withholding that and grieving the Holy Spirit blocks that flow. Amen? So let's unpack that. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. He's connected to us spiritually, mentally, as well as emotionally. He has a personality because he is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. He talks to you because he is a person with a personality. And he shares with you. When you're holding on to bitterness, anger, wrath, malice, rage, clamor, and evil speaking of others, you're grieving him, and that grieving is in turn affecting yourself. Now, there's two types of sin, right? There's sins of commission and sins of omission, right? There's sins you commit and sins that you commit by not doing anything. Well, what in the world? Am I responsible for sins that I commit? I'm not doing anything? Yes, but I'm going to explain, right? The sins of commission are things that you go out and do, right? You went out and you knew this was a sin and you did it, right? That's committing a sin. That makes a barrier between you and God, and that creates a blockage of the blessings in your life until you go to God and you ask him to forgive that sin. You ask him, Lord, to cover that sin, have the Holy Spirit work within me to bring about conviction so that I eventually go to the altar, or I hit my own altar at home or on the car on the way to work. I remember that sin because the Holy Spirit brings it to our remembrance. And then in that moment, we say, God, I'm so sorry I did that. God, I'm so sorry that happened. And in that moment, he covers you in the blood and he forgives that sin. And then there's sins of omission. These are things that God has commanded you to do through your word, but you have failed to do them. So what sin of omission are we talking about today? I'm talking about holding on to unforgiveness. I'm talking about holding on to bitterness. I'm talking about evil speaking of other people because they wronged you. I'm talking about all of these. This is a sin, but it's a sin of omission because you're not walking in forgiveness. You're not walking in total forgiveness. And it says it grieves the Holy Spirit, which lets you know that it is a sin because sin grieves the heart of God. Right? So if you're grieving the Holy Spirit, I believe this is twofold. First fold is because it's a sin and it's creating a barrier between you and Christ. The second thing is because the Holy Spirit wants you to live free and have the blessings flow through you, and he's grieved that you're allowing this situation to block that. Right? So I believe it's twofold. So here are three ways that I'm going to give you before I close today. Here are three ways to total forgiveness. Now, what I'm giving you are practical ways. What I've spent the time talking about the last 40 minutes is talking about how the Holy Spirit helps you in these practicalities. But remember when I said God sometimes expects you to do something? Right? The Holy Spirit will prompt you. The Holy Spirit will convict you. The Holy Spirit will come in and grieve you. But he expects you sometimes to make a move. He expects you to do something. Right? So total forgiveness starts with the first one is understanding. Understanding. How do you understand a wrong that's been committed against you? How do you understand it? And when I say by understanding, I'm not saying that you're calling a wrong thing right. I'm not saying that you're calling an evil thing done against you okay. But you need to study spiritually why that person does what they do. Why did they do what they did? Now, what this is doing is removing you from a physical plane and taking you to a spiritual level. You're taking yourself out of the flesh, out of the physical plane, and you're looking at the situation through your spiritual eyes only, not your physical eyes. And then you can begin to understand why that person that harmed you does the things that they do. Why did that person cheat on me in my marriage? Why did it happen? If you're in the flesh, you don't care why. You just know it happened, right? But if you get in the spirit and you can begin to understand the why behind the what, you understand that there's reasons behind the reason. There's a reason, and then there's reasons behind the reason, right? You begin to understand, you begin to look at, why did that person abuse me? What happened in their life that turned them into that kind of animal that they abuse other people? What happened in their life? If you watched that movie, The Shack, you might not have agreed with a lot of the theology in it. I didn't either, but I eat the meat and I spit out the bones, right? But there's a part of it where he is so angry with his father for beating him. And then God, in a moment, shows him his father getting beaten as a little boy. And shows that it was a vicious cycle that carried down through the generations. So sometimes you need to step out of the physical plane, out of your flesh, out of your about me for the moment, and just look at the entire situation from a spiritual viewpoint, from a spiritual eye, and say, God, why did they do what they did to me? And allow the Holy Spirit to unfold that and reveal it to you. Study it. Find out why. And once you understand why the situation happened, then you're on the track for total forgiveness. Okay? I'm going to skip a few things because I want you to get all three of these. The second one is total forgiveness continues with realization. Okay, this is the second part, and this is where I might make some of you mad. And that's okay, because sometimes you got to get mad to get you to move, right? Sometimes you got to get mad before you do something, right? So you have to understand why the person did what they did to you, and then you have to have a realization. The realization is that I'm not innocent. I can be angry with people who have done me wrong all day long, but at some point I need to have the realization that me, myself and I, that I am not innocent, that I've also wronged people. I can be angry that somebody talked about me like a dog behind my back, but I guarantee you there's been times in my life where I've talked about somebody else. I can be angry at somebody for telling me a lie, but I guarantee you there's been times in my life where I've told somebody else a lie. I can be angry at somebody for abusing me on some level, and maybe that level was much more than you've ever done, But I guarantee at some point in time, you've taken advantage of somebody else. Why? Because we're human. Because we're flesh, right? And we have to go before God and ask for forgiveness the same way they do. So you have the first, you have the understanding of why they did what they did. And then you have the realization of it, right? You have the realization of it. The realization of the fact is that I'm not innocent. I need God's grace as much as they do, right? So you understand we're all human. We all make mistakes. We all mess up. And then number three, the last thing is total forgiveness is complete when you can pray for them to be blessed and stop talking about them despite what they did to you, right? Now, this happens only after the other two. After you've walked through the other two, right, then this happens. Then you're able to pray for them. Now, somebody abused you sexually, physically, especially when you were a kid. I'm not asking you to pray for God to bless them. Not asking you for that. But what I am asking you in that portion of it for you is that despite what happened, you stop talking about it. You stop allowing it to ruin your future. And you forgive it, and you allow God's peace to enter in, and you begin to really live. You begin to really allow somebody else to love you. You begin to allow God to bring people in your life that really love you, that love you for real, like you're supposed to be loved. And you may have thought that that was true love, but it was abuse and it was wrong. But you need to move through forgiveness so that you can receive what God has for you. Now, for other instances, somebody talked about you. Somebody stole your seat at Thanksgiving. Somebody lied about you. A spouse cheated on you. Start praying for God to bless them. Start praying for God to move in their life. Start praying for them earnestly. And at first it'll feel fake. At first it'll feel weird because I've walked through this. So at first you'll be like, oh Lord, just bless them, Lord. And you got no passion in it whatsoever. But you're saying the words and you're walking it out. But what you'll find is eventually, in a moment, all of a sudden, your heart will begin to melt. Because you can't pray for somebody and stay mad at them. All of a sudden, your heart will begin to melt, and you'll begin to really begin to intercede for them. You'll begin to really pray for them. And then when that happens, all the walls that you've built up around your heart, all the walls that have caused you to not be able to receive love from other people will come down. And in that moment, you'll be able to live an abundant life with an abundant marriage, abundant relationships, abundance in friendships. You'll be able to really walk out the kind of life that God has called you to in that moment. Here's the paradox. Please stand with me and we'll close. Here's the paradox that I want to share with you today. Love and forgiveness is a choice. If you've never heard that before, it probably didn't sit well with you because we think of love and forgiveness as a feeling. I'll love you when I feel like it. I'll forgive you once I feel it. I'll let you out of this prison that I've kept you in my mind as soon as I feel okay about doing it, right? Well, what you're doing is you're walking and you're walking with your emotions leading the way, right? And you know what happens when your emotions lead the way? You get in trouble. You live on this perpetual roller coaster because your emotions go up and down, up and down, up and down. So what you have to allow to lead the way is your spirit man. You have to build up your spirit man, and that's for a woman too, but you have to build up your spirit man, your spirit woman, and allow your spirit man to lead the way. And then understand that love and forgiveness is a choice, and each and every day, every one of you wake up and you can make a decision that day to love and forgive. So if you can't do it right now in this service, I'm going to open up the altars. I'm going to ask the Spirit Life team to come. If you can't do it right now in this service, start praying about it throughout the day. And when you wake up tomorrow morning, this is what I would love for you to do. If you've been carrying this bitterness, this anger, this rage, if you've been carrying this, when you wake up tomorrow morning before your feet hit the floor, you say, God, today I choose to love and forgive. Today, God, I choose to walk in your love. Today, I choose to walk in your forgiveness. And then see how much better of a day you have. And make the decision each day to allow your spirit man to lead, not your emotional man. Allow your spirit to lead, not your emotions. Be spirit-led, not emotion-led. Be spirit-driven, not emotion-driven. Amen? Every head bowed, every eye closed in this place. I want to ask you, maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but you would like to. If you're in this place, all I'm going to ask you to do is just lift your hand and you can place it right back down, and then we're going to pray for you. So if there's anybody in here that needs to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, just lift a hand and you can put it right back down now. Okay. I'm going to assume that everybody in here has a relationship with Jesus. The next thing I'm going to do is ask you that if you just don't have control over this and you need some help to get it started. How many of you know sometimes even a car rolling downhill needs a push, right? So maybe we've got the car rolling this morning a little bit, but you just need a push. You need somebody to agree with you and pray with you and give you that push so that you can start making these choices. If you're in this house today and you need a push to help to forgive somebody, and the altars are open, you're free to come. You can come now. I'm going to pray a dismissal prayer, and then everybody else is free to leave. The Family Focus Hour has already started.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.